Hare Krishna. I am seeing that many of you have just come either last night or this morning. So we extend you all a very hearty welcome to Avantipur Dham, Sri Sri Radha Madhava Avantipur. Especially are my very dear godbrother, Shyamlal Prabhu. Shyamlal Prabhu ki. I had been waiting for you since last 3 days. You are supposed to come on the 14th. Oh, yeah. Okay. So everything is all right? Okay. Thank you. Let's greet Shyamlal Prabhu with 3 Hari Bols. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hare Krishna. And so welcome to all of you. And I hope you all are comfortably situated. And if you have any inconvenience or difficulty, please do not hesitate to let us know. Hare Krishna. And I'm seeing that many devotees are outside. If you all just move forward a little bit, then the other devotees can come inside. আর যাদের বাংলা অনুবাদের দরকার, বাংলা ইংরেজি বুঝতে কার কার অসুবিধা হবে হাত তুলতে পারেন, যাদের বুঝতে অসুবিধা হবে ইংরেজি, তো বাংলাতে অনুবাদ হচ্ছে নিচের তলায়, ওরা আপনারা তাহলে সেখানে যেতে পারেন। গঙ্গানারায়ণ কোথায়? ইজ অন বেঙ্গলি ট্রান্সলেশন ইজ ডাউন স্টেজ সেকেন্ড, জাস্ট দ্য ফ্লোর বিলো, বলেছে সবাই। ওকে, যদি আপনারা থাকতে চান এখানে থাকতে পারেন, কোনো অসুবিধা নেই। তাই বাংলা অনুবাদের যদি প্রয়োজন হয় তাহলে আপনারা। হরে কৃষ্ণ গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি, ওং নমো ভগবতে
বাসুদেবায়,
ওং নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওং নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ঈশ্বরঃ পরম কৃষ্ণ সচ্চিদানন্দ বিগ্রহ অনাদিরাদির গোবিন্দঃ সর্বকারণ কারণম। সো সিন্স মেনি অফ ইউ are coming to the class or this seminar for the first time today, which is the last day of the seminar actually. So I'll just give a short synopsis of this seminar. This is a seminar on Srimad, or rather Sri Sri Brahma Samhita. We are discussing Brahma Samhita instead of the Bhagavatam class because Brahma Samhita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are just establishing that point, or the theme or the title of this seminar is Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of Brahma Samhita. Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana, or Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana. And the symptom of a Mahapurana are 10 in nature. There are 10 symptoms of a Mahapurana. And the last one, the final symptom, the ultimate symptom of a Mahapuran has been described as Ashrayaha or the Samam Bonam, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Primeval Lord, the original Supreme Personality, who is the cause of all causes. That has been very clearly established at the very beginning of Brahma Samhita, at the very beginning of the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. Ishwaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Param Ishwaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Krishna. Ishwaraha Parama Krishna, and his form is Satchidananda Vigraha. His form is of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Eternal knowledge and bliss. And he is Anadir Adir Govinda. He is the Govinda who is the beginning of the beginningless. Anadi means that doesn't have any beginning. And he is the Adi of Anadi. He is the beginning of that that is without a beginning. And he is the Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So his identity has been very wonderfully established by Lord Brahma, the first created being. When he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face in the spiritual sky, he was making these prayers to him. He is offering these prayers to him. These prayers are the verses of Brahma Samhita from 29th to 56. These 27 verses comprise of the prayers of Lord Brahma. And prior to that, Brahma is describing, first he is describing the spiritual sky. What is the spiritual sky? The spiritual sky is like a 1,000-petaled lotus. And those petals are the abodes of the Shakti Tattvas of the Supreme Personality of God. The pleasure potencies of the Supreme Personality of God. And the stigmas of the lotus are his associates. And on the whorl of the lotus, the Lord himself is situated with Srimati Radharani. And all the gopis are the expansions of Srimati Radharani. And those petals of the lotus are their place of residence. And then Brahma described about the creation, how Mahavishnu, lying on the causal ocean, glanced at the Prakriti, Mahamaya. And as a result of his glance, Prakriti became agitated. And due to that agitation, the material nature became manifest. The material nature has two aspects, manifest aspect and unmanifest aspect. Sometimes it is manifest, sometimes it is unmanifest. The material nature becomes manifest due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he described how that glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shambhu. Now we can see that Shambhu is the husband of Maya. Because it is due to Shambhu's contact that the Maya becomes manifest. Maya becomes agitate and Maya becomes active. So it is due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Maya becomes agitated, and that glance is Shambhu, so Shambhu is the cause of Maya's agitation. So this Shambhu, as we know, in this way we can see that Maya, Mahamaya, is Durga, and Shambhu or Lord Shiva is her husband. So in this way, the material nature becomes manifest. Then Brahma described how from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appeared. And then, when he appeared, he was in total ignorance. He didn't know who he was, where he came from, what he was supposed to do. So he tried in various ways. Even he climbed down that lotus stem for a long, long time. Still he couldn't find the end of this stem, the origin of the stem. And then he came back, and then when he was sitting on the lotus again, he was inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to meditate. And in this way, when Brahma withdrew his senses internally, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing his flute, gave him the Gayatri. And upon meditating on the Gayatri, the transcendental knowledge became manifest in the heart of Brahma. And when this transcendental knowledge became manifest, Brahma actually was transported to the spiritual sky. So Brahma was here. Brahma withdrew his senses, projected his senses internally into his heart. And as a result of that, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, through this internal journey, Brahma reached the spiritual sky. So, this way we can see that spiritual journey is not an external one. It is an internal one. But sometimes it can be external also. It is inconceivable. Materially we cannot understand how it is. Like, it is beyond any material conception. It is external. It is internal, yet it can be also external. Like Brahma Samhita then describes that Goloko Namni Nijadham Nitale Chatasya. Below Golok is Haridham, then below Haridham is Mahishdham, below Mahishdham is Devidham. So we can say beyond Devidham or material nature is the abode of Mahesh, Lord Shiva. Beyond that is abode of Vaikuntha or Narayan, abode of Narayan or Vaikuntha. And then beyond that is Golok. So we can also externally perceive it, but then again it is beyond our material concept. So the understanding is that the spiritual journey is essentially an internal process. Yet, it can also include the external activities. Anyway, I don't want to get into that aspect because what I want to do is to give a brief synopsis of this Brahma Samhita, what has been described. And then Brahma saw Krishna face to face. And that perception of Brahma, perception of Krishna by Brahma, is the subject matter of Brahma Samhita. When Brahma saw Krishna, he started to offer his prayers to Krishna, Govinda. And as a result of that, Brahma, through Brahma, we have been fortunate By the mercy of Lord Brahma, we have received this good fortune of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So Brahma gradually, first Brahma described the spiritual sky, then Brahma described the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His transcendental form, transcendental beauty, and then He described His the way to approach Him, that how only through devotion can one approach Him and perceive Him. That panthas tu koti satavatsara sampragammo bayo rathapi manaso munipungavana. The munis, the extremely powerful mental speculators, traveling for hundreds of years with the speed of the mind, they can at the most reach the toe of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Yet, the devotees can very easily approach Him. Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhakti. He is durlabh, he is rare to even understand. He is rare to understand. It is impossible to understand, or rather it is difficult to understand Him through the extensive studies of the Vedas. Yet, for His devotees, He is very easily available. Adurlabham atma. It's described premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When the eyes become anointed with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bhakti vilochana, when the eyes become anointed with the love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means through that devotional attitude, by developing devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He can be very easily seen in the core of one's heart. That is how the santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. The santas, the saintly personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord, constantly see Him in the core of His heart, because their eyes have been anointed with love for Him. So in this way, then Brahma started to describe what is the relationship between Krishna and different incarnations. What is the relationship between Krishna and Brahma Jyoti? What is the relationship between Krishna and Maya? What is the relationship between Krishna and Lord Shiva? What is the relationship between Krishna and Ganesh? So all these personalities, although they are very, very exalted personalities, but eventually it becomes clear that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of the incarnations. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the cause of all incarnations. So yesterday we covered up to text 50. So today we'll start from 51. Agnir mahi gagana mambu marud dushascha kalas tathatma manusiti jagatrayani jasmad bhavanti vibhavanti vishanti jangcha govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Agni means fire. Mahi means earth. Gaganam is ether. Ambu, water. Marut, air. Dishaha, directions. Cha, also kalaha, time. Atma, soul. Manasi, mind. Jagat Trayani, the three worlds. Jashmad Bhavanti, from whom it becomes, they originate. Bibhavanti, they exist. And Vishanti, they enter. That Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. The three worlds are composed of the nine elements. Those nine elements are Agni, Mahi, Gaganam, Ambu, Marut, Dishaha, Kala, Atma and Manasa, mind. So with these nine, it has been composed. So this is also another approach, another kind of Sankha understanding. Sankha, analytical study. Generally, Sankha, Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna described that this material nature is composed of eight elements. Bhumi, Rapo, Anolo, Vayu, Khang, Mano, Buddhi, Revacha, Ahankara iti angme bhinna prakritir ashtadha. So that is the material nature, the elements with which the material nature has been composed. Then Sankhya philosophy analyzes the material nature with 24 considerations. Again, they describe similarly, five elements, five senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, and five objects of the senses, three subtle elements, and sum total of material creation or elements, Mahatattva. With this 24 consideration, material nature has been analyzed through general Sankhya philosophy. But here we are getting another approach. Like, the difference here is that manasiti, that mind has been considered, instead of three, mind, intelligence and false ego, the subtle and nature, subtle elements have been just summarized with this mind aspect. Just one element, mind. Intelligence and false ego haven't been included in here. Instead we find what? Instead we find kal, the time, and dishaha, direction. Direction and time. And then the ninth consideration is Atma, the spirit soul. Kalas tathatma manasiti jagatrayani. So with this, three worlds, the material, the three worlds are composed of nine elements. And in whom they exist, in whom they exist, Govindam. And into whom they enter at the time of annihilation, at the time of universal cataclysm, jasmad bhavanti, vishanti, and jasmad bhavanti, bibhavanti, vishanti jamcha. From him they become manifest, by him they are maintained, and in him, at the time of universal cataclysm, they enter. So again, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. Jachakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja Jasya Gaya Bhramati Sambhrito Kalo Chakro Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Jachakshuresha Savita. Savita is Surya, sun god. Sun god, sun is his eye. And that he is Raja Samasta Suramurti Ashesha Teja. That sun is the king of all the celestial planetary systems, all the celestial bodies, all the planets. Raja Samasta Suramurti and his Ashesha Teja, he is endowed with endless power. Even materially also, we can calculate, the sun's energy is endless. Scientists, or rather modern scientists, whatever you want to call them, they also accept that sun's energy is endless. They speculate all kinds of things. They say due to its fusion and fission, because these two processes are going on continuously in the sun, the energy of the sun is endless. Fission is the breaking of large atoms into small atoms. That produces the atomic energy. And the fusion is small atoms are combined together and that also produce energy. So with the fission concept, with the fission concept, atom bombs are produced, and through the fission concept, the hydrogen bombs are produced. So they, with their, like, as Prabhupada used to say, the frog in the well. The frog in the well, he tries to measure the ocean in relation to the well. Is the ocean 10 times as large as the well? Is the ocean 20 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, million times as large as the well? The ocean cannot be measured or perceived or understood in the light of or with the knowledge of the well. It's a totally different thing. So modern scientists, they are like the Dr. Frogs. They are trying to measure everything from the measurement of their well. So anyway, if they want to remain in eternal ignorance, then who can help them? So here we are saying, Jat Chakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Churamurtir Ashesha Teja. Ashesha means endless. Sun's energy is endless. Ashesha Teja. Spiritually we know why sun's energy is endless. We don't have to speculate about fusions and fissions. Our simple understanding is that sun is reflecting Brahma Jyoti. The energy of Brahma Jyoti is being reflected by the sun into the material nature. So that is why sun has endless energy. So that Jasyaghaya Bhramati Samrito Kalu Chakra. Riding on the wheel of time, the sun is moving according to his command, according to his order. Jasya Gaya. Bhramati, travel. Sambrito, riding upon. Kalo Chakro, the wheel of time. So in this way we are seeing the sun. Why the sun is moving so obediently, without fail, absolutely punctually. Because of the order of Govinda.
Dharmo tu papo nichayas sutayas tapangshi brahmadi kita patagava dhayascha jiva jaddatta matra vibhava prakata prabhava govindam adi purusham tamahang bhajam.
I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas from Brahma to the meanest insect. Brahma, the Brahma Adi Kita Patagava Dhayascha Jiva. Brahma to the insects, and Pataga is, Kita Pataga means insects. Avadhaya, down to. From, all the way from Brahma, Brahma is the supreme being in this universe. And an insect is the most insignificant being in the universe. So all the way from Brahma to an insignificant insect, everyone is actually maintained by his potency. And whatever they're doing is simply due to his mercy, his arrangement. Now here it's interesting, two things have been mentioned, that it is due to his maintenance that they are being controlled in all respects, including virtue and sin. The good activities of a person and bad activities of a person, one may question, oh, then Krishna is actually controlling. No. Krishna actually set the autopilot, a mechanism that functions by itself. And that mechanism is called guna karma. He set the system called guna karma. Guna means modes of material nature. And karma is the independence to act. The living entities have been endowed with a facility to act independently. They can act independently. Everybody is free to act the way he wants in this material nature. But then, when he acts in the mode of goodness, that is considered to be pious activity. When one acts in the mode of ignorance, that is impious activity. So it's up to the individual whether he will act in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion or in the mode of ignorance. So Krishna is not saying, well, you act in a pious way and you act in a sinful way. No. Krishna says, you act in whichever way you want. But your result, the results of your activities will be determined by the arrangement of guna and karma. So in this way, everyone, all the way from Brahma down to an insect, are being maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jastindra Gopa Mathavendra Mahaswakarma Bandhanu Rupa Falabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajan Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda who burns up to their roots all fruitive actions, activities of those who are imbued with devotion, and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk on the path of work in accordance with the chain of their previously performed work, no less in the case of the tiny insect
that bears the name of Indra Gopa than in that of Indra, king of the Devas. Jastindra Gopam Gopa Athavendra Mahasakarmo Athoba Indram Aho Sakarma of their own fruitive activities. Bandhanu Rupa Phalo Bhajana Matanoti. They are enjoying or suffering according to their own actions. When we see that someone is suffering, we have to understand that he must have done something wrong in the past. And when we find that somebody is enjoying or has been awarded with many facilities, then we have to understand that he has done something good in the past. Therefore, Ishopanishad is time and time again pointing out that do not become envious. Do not greed upon others' property. Do not become envious. When you see that somebody is enjoying, don't become envious. When somebody is suffering, yes, go and help him. And if you are suffering, then recognize that it's because of your past karma. Because you have done something wrong in the past, that's why you are suffering. You are to be blamed for that. You can't blame Krishna for that. Oh, why Krishna is making me suffer? No, Krishna is not making you suffer. You are making yourself suffer. Krishna wants you to enjoy. Just become connected to Krishna, you will enjoy endlessly. If you want to enjoy, then just become engaged in devotional service. There won't be any end of that enjoyment. But you act independently, sometimes you'll enjoy, sometimes you'll suffer. So if you enjoy, but what you do normally, what does a materialistic person do? What does a person in a material nature do? When they enjoy, they want to take the credit. Yes, I have earned so much money. That's why I am enjoying. And when he loses the money due to credit crunch, then he blames Krishna. Why Krishna did this to me? But a devotee's attitude is completely opposite. A devotee, when he enjoys, he gives the credit to Krishna. And when he suffers, he blames himself for that. So that is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. So you watch out yourself. Who you are enjoying, who you are giving the credit to when you are enjoying, and who you are blaming when you are suffering. A very simple way to figure out whether you are properly situated on a path of devotional service. Jang krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sebba bhavo sanchinta tasya sadrishing tanumapurete govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. Jang krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti. These are all different emotions. Krodh means anger. Kam is lust. Sahaja pranaya, spontaneous love. Bhiti means fear. Vatsalya, parental love. Guru Gaurava, awe and reverence. Sebba bhavai, service attitude. Sanchinta tasya sadrishing tanumapurete. Then accordingly, one gets his tanu or his bodily form. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. Jadrishi bhavanar jasya siddhir bhavati tadrishi. The way one meditates, the way one thinks, accordingly he achieves his perfection. So jadrishi, as one is developing or as one is meditating about Krishna, accordingly he will get his form. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, means anger, amorous passion, meaning lust, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation. So that is the thing. The way we meditate upon Krishna, accordingly we get the body. We get the form. Like few things have been described here, like krodh, anger. There are individuals who are angry about Krishna. Though, like Shishupal. Whenever he saw Krishna, he just became angry. He just couldn't tolerate that Krishna is being worshipped. Krishna is being recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whenever people praise Krishna, he would become angry. The gopis had their relationship with Krishna is based on lust, amorous passion. Then Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda Mai are related to Krishna in Vatsalya. Kamsa was related to Krishna or meditating upon Krishna in fear. And in this way, we can see that different individuals are meditating on Krishna. So, like Kamsa was actually always meditating on Krishna. I mean, if Manmana Bhavo is the goal of life, Kamsa achieved perfection. He was always thinking of Krishna. But the unfortunate thing is that he was thinking of Krishna in an unfavorable way. Not in a favorable way, but in an unfavorable way. Similarly, Shishupal, thinking of Krishna, but in anger. Therefore, we should make it a point to think about Krishna in a favorable way. If we think about Krishna in an unfavorable way, then we'll end up becoming a demon. Does anybody want to become a demon? Even the demons don't want to become demons. You call a demon, he'll become very angry. Nobody wants to be a demon. But they don't know that they are becoming, unknowingly they are becoming demons. And what is the criteria, ultimate criteria of the demoniac mentality? Develop an unfavorable attitude towards Krishna. That is a demon. Who is a devotee? Who has a favorable attitude towards Krishna. Then, the last verse of Brahma's prayer, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpatarugo Druma Bhumi Shchintamani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Kathaganam Natyam Gamanamapi Bamsi Priyasakhi Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadasatam Apicha Sajatra Kshirabdhi Shravati Surabhishcha Bhascha Sumahan Nimeshardhakho Bhavrajati Nahi Jatrapi Samayaha Bhaje Shvetad Deepam Tamaham Iha Golakam Itijang
vidantaste shanta kshiti virala chara pratipaye.
So, the conclusion of Brahma's prayer. Again, here he is. At the beginning, he described Krishna and the spiritual sky. Now here again, remember the first verse of Brahma's prayer? Brahma's prayer? Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha. So the same point is being repeated here. Shriyakanta kanta parama purusha. Kalpa tarobo dhruma. Dhruma means trees. There the trees are kalpa vrikshas, desire trees. And bhumish chintamani, the land is chintamani. Bhumish chintamani. Ganamai toyam. Toyam means water, amritam. There the water is nectar. The water is not water there. Water there is nectar. Toyam amritam. And there Shriya Kanta, Shriya Lakshmi Devi there, Shriya, the plural actually. The Shriya, the Lakshmi is the goddess of goddesses of fortune. Shriya. Not one Lakshmi, many, many Lakshmis. Shriya Kanta. There, the Kanta is loving consorts. And Kanta Parama Purushaha, the enjoyer, the lover, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, is a beautiful, is such a wonderful place where Krishna is the lover and all the goddesses of fortune are the beloved. Krishna is the hero and goddesses of fortune are the heroines. And there katha ganam natyam gamanam api. There katha, the words are music. And natyam gamanam api, every movement is dance. And bamsi priyashakhi. Krishna's flute is Krishna's priyashakhi, very dear friend. Female friend, actually. Priya Sakhi. Chidanandang Jyoti. There, it is eternally effulgent. And what is that effulgent? The effulgence of spiritual bliss. Chidanandang Jyoti paramapi tadashaddam apicha. Sajatrak shirabdhi sravati surabhi bharscha sumahan. There, the Suravi cows are giving out continuous supply of milk, continuous flow of milk. And as a result of that, a kshiravdi, an ocean of milk has been created. It is a milk ocean. Sweta Deep, and in that milk ocean, there is an island called Sweta Deep. And that island is actually the Golokam Itijam. And there, Nimeshardhakhova Brajati Nahi Jatrapi Samaya. Their time doesn't move even half of a fraction, even a fraction of a moment. The time doesn't move there. Time is standing still. How? We don't know. Because we are in an area where time is constantly moving. So much so that we do not have any control of time. Before we have said ka of control, the time has moved away. Before we have said p of the present, it's gone to the past. That is the material concept of time. Future into the past, it's constantly flowing. Present is just an illusory concept. It's just a concept, not an illusory, but it's a concept. Whereas there is no past, no future, eternally present. The time doesn't move there. Yet, Brajati, this place, that, Samayam na brajati, the time doesn't move there, but the place is braja. The place is continuously moving. Whereas material nature is in continuous stagnation. Whereas that spiritual nature is continuously dynamic. So that is the spiritual sky. So this is the wonderful prayers of Lord Brahma. These are the wonderful prayers of Lord Brahma. And if we can understand Brahma Samhita properly, then we can understand the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in a most perfect way. Bhagavatam, understanding of Bhagavatam becomes absolutely clear in the light of Brahma Samhita. Well, we have only about 5 minutes for questions answers. I know probably there will be many questions. The condition is all the questions has to be written on a piece of paper. So if I don't get any question in 1 minute's time, then I will say Hare Krishna. Okay. Krishnarchan, as usual. Very good. Krishnarchan. Actually, I miss Krishnarchan in the Bhagavatam class the most. Because when he is not there, there is no question, usually. Now he is actually preaching in Bhopal. How is moha one of the ways of meditating on Krishna? Okay. Here that moha is an attachment. Let me see how Prabhupada translated that.
Delusion.
Yeah. So that delusion is a influence of Yogamaya. In the spiritual nature also there is delusion. But that delusion is due to Yogamaya's influence. Like for example, in Golok Vrindavan, they don't know that Krishna is God. It's a kind of a delusion. But that delusion is not out of forgetfulness, but out of love. For devotees, Krishna destroys the sins. Does it take a long time to destroy the sinful tendencies? Besides, is a change of body sometimes essential to give up some deep-rooted material attachment? Don't wait for that long to give up the body. Try to correct all your mistakes when you have the body. Because when you lose the body, who knows what's going to happen. So why take a chance? Alright? And the practice makes a man perfect out of love for Krishna. Actually, when we surrender to Krishna, we are actually placing ourselves at Krishna's mercy. Then let him do whatever he wants to do. Whatever defects, whatever shortcomings we have, he will take care. We don't have to rectify ourselves. We simply have to be engaged in devotional service. Anarthas like lust and envy are sometimes difficult to recognize. How to do so? Anarthas like lust and envy are sometimes difficult to recognize. I won't say difficult to recognize, we recognize, but it's difficult to admit. We think that it's all right. And So with Krishna consciousness, again, we have to overcome that. That is, as the heart becomes purified, all these anarthas and lust will disappear. Tada rajas tamo bhava kamo lobho dayascha je. Kamo lobho dayascha, kamo lobho adi. Cheto etoi ranabiddham sthitam shatya prashivati. When the heart becomes affected by the mode of goodness or pure goodness, Shuddha Shatta, through devotional service. And as Krishna is saying, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. So those who are bhakti bhajan, those who have taken to devotional service, his karma will burn out. So he'll do it. We don't have to worry about that. So many. Do you all want to have a breakfast today? Did everybody break your fast from Ekadasi today?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The ascending process of knowledge, like modern so-called scientists, cannot reveal absolute truth because of limited experiences and senses. Knowledge must be revealed by someone with realization. How do we know from whom to receive this knowledge? Every religion claims to have the truth. What is the test to choose the right source of knowledge? From Krishnendu. Krishna has given you something called intelligence. Use your intelligence to figure that out. Which is the right path? Everybody may say, when you go to a shop, when you go to the market, everybody says that his product is the best. But do you buy the product according to what they say? What do you do? Do you buy the product according to their publicity, or you use your intelligence? Those who don't have intelligence, they'll go according to the publicity. Right? Who will say it loudest that my product is the best, they'll go for that. But an intelligent person will analyze himself. What is what? Which is the best product? And how do you determine the best product? Which is the best and the cheapest? You pay the list and get the best. And when it comes to Krishna consciousness, that's it. You pay nothing and you get the best. Are the jivas of another 13 loka? Now, first of all, they are not 13 loka, of 13 lokas of this Brahmanda following Brahma Samhita. If you go and preach there, then they may possibly get it. Of course, in Brahma Loka, in Satya Loka, Brahma Samhita is there because Brahma himself is there. But Brahma is very careful about giving pure Krishna consciousness to everybody. That is not distributed so freely. It's very rare. That's why only when Krishna comes in a day of Brahma, in the Dwapar Yuga, to perform his Braja Leela, in the following Kali Yuga, Krishna consciousness becomes so readily available by Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, this Krishna Prem is very, very rare. Who is the Shakti of Brahma? Saraswati is considered to be Brahma's consort. That is the material aspect of Saraswati. But Saraswati is also in the spiritual sky. There she is Krishna's eternal consort. But we have to also understand that Brahma is the perfect brahmachari. Is there any existence of Brahma Vrindavan in another planet of this Bhuloka, except this planet. Bhuloka is the planet. There are not many Bhulokas in one universe. Whose question is this? No name? Okay. There is a Bhuloka. Tomar question. There is only one Bhuloka in one Brahmanda. So in this Brahmanda, there is only one Bhuloka. According to Brahma Samhita, Brahma knows Krishna, his Supreme Personality, but why he had committed the offense like theft of cows in Vrindavan Leela. Now that was, Brahma was covered over by Jogomaya. So in order to enact that pastimes, Jogomaya made Brahma forget about, for not recognize Krishna. This question, I don't know how many times I'll answer. Jogomaya or Mahamaya mein kya antar hai? Jogomaya adhyatmik jagat mein hai aur Mahamaya is jagat ka maya hai. Bhagwan ka shakti, maya shakti adhyatmik jagat mein jogomaya hai aur is bhautik jagat mein Mahamaya hai. What is the relationship between Lord Krishna and Gayatri Devi? Please explain in details. I don't have the time to explain in detail. We don't. Gayatri is a personified mantra. Mantra is the sound vibration that enables one to go to the spiritual sky. Should devotee help non-devotees who is suffering? Yes, devotee's business is to always help the non-devotees to mitigate their suffering condition. But that mitigation of the suffering condition is not by giving some food or some medicine or some cloth, but by giving them Krishna Prasad and making them devotees of Krishna. In text 7, Krishna's spiritual potency is called Rama, not Rama, it's Rama. Chitrangada. Where is Chitrangada? It's not Rama, it's Rama. Rama means Lakshmi. Can you please explain who is Rama again? So that is not Rama. Rama is Lakshmi Devi or his consort. And the different terminology used in this text, in these two texts. Acha, next is in the purport of text 7, it is stated that Rama is engaged by Krishna to carry the function of Krishna's glance, yet this glance is said to be Sambhu. Can you explain this? Just as we said, did it say that the function of Krishna's engaged by Krishna to carry the function of Krishna's glance? So we have to understand that through his internal potency, the glance is being casted. And the glance itself, personified glance, is Sambhu. One is the executive factor, which is the energy, the potency that is executing that, that is being performed by his internal potency. Right? But the personification of his glance is Sambhu. How guna, karma, free will and destruction of the sins according to one's surrender works on the devotees who are trying to surrender to Sri Krishna and Sri Guru. Radha Pyari. So as one surrenders accordingly he becomes free from the guna and karma. You get it? The more you are rejecting Krishna and becoming independent, more you are becoming subjected to guna karma. Now, the more you are surrendered to Krishna, more you surrender to Krishna, the more you become free from guna and karma. Right? And that is the karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. So, what is actually happening? You surrender to Krishna, Krishna is destroying that karmic. Karmani nirdahati. The more you reject Krishna, you are on your own. Right? Deal with your guna and karma. Okay? It is mentioned that the devotional activities are not mundane. They are performed in the spiritual chinmay level. Then how is it possible for a human being who possesses material body, lives in a material environment, to perform devotional activities? You see, you have the material body, but when you are performing devotional service, then that material body is engaged in spiritual activity. And by doing that, your material body is becoming spiritualized. Yeah, can you please explain the meaning of the word Samhita? The Samhita is a compilation. The compilation of certain presentation. The ultimate culmination of knowledge is devotion. If devotion itself is enough, why do we need knowledge? You need knowledge to understand the importance of devotion. That is the initial aspect of knowledge. But then the spiritual knowledge you don't have to acquire from outside. What you are doing by this knowledge, your ignorance is being destroyed. And then your more the ignorance is destroyed, the more you'll become engaged in devotional service. And when you become engaged in devotional service properly, then knowledge will automatically become manifest. That's why that is called Dibba Gyan. There are two types of Gyan. Jaro Gyan and Dibba Gyan. So initially what we are doing, we are acquiring knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, in order to, just like a baby needs some help initially, to learn to walk. But does he need the help all the time? No, at some point he doesn't need the help anymore. He starts to walk. Not only walk, he starts to learn. So in the initial stage, when we are not acquainted with the spiritual activities, then in order to become aware of the benefits of spiritual activity and the process of spiritual activities, we need the information. But that information is not actually the real spiritual information. The real spiritual information, by performing devotional service, will automatically become manifest within the heart. Dibbo Gyan, Hride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge will be revealed in the heart. And this has been exemplified in another very beautiful way. Bhakti Devi, devotional service personified, has two sons. She is the mother. Bhakti is the mother. And Bhakti Mata, Mother Bhakti, has two children, Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. So whenever the mother goes, the two children go with the mother. So wherever there is bhakti, Gyan and Vairagya will automatically become manifest there. You don't have to separately search for that or seek for that. Hare Krishna is already 9:15. The next seminar is at 11 o'clock. So you have to take your breakfast. So I'm ending it now. Maybe there are one or two more questions. I'm not answering that.